Amen. Well, as I said a few moments ago, this is an Easter unlike any other. But you know, it's oftentimes, it came to my mind that it's really a lot like the very first Easter. For on that time, there was much confusion in the world. The disciples were in turmoil. They were in hiding. Their doors were locked. And they were confined in their homes, just like many of us are confined. There was bewilderment, and there was dreams and hopes that were shattered. Yes, that first Easter was very much like our Easter today. But I want to suggest to you that there is another connection here. We're losing connection. Okay, we've got it back again. Sorry about that. We're not getting good response with the... all right. Very good. Little technical difficulties. Well, as I was saying, there's a lot of parallels between that first Easter and our Easter. And the most important one is that it's a time of unexpected joy. For that's the last thing the disciples and followers of Jesus expected to find in that first Easter morning. And what I'm going to do today is we're going to journey through Luke's account of the resurrection morning. It's found in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin at verse 1, and we'll read to verse 12. And so let's, first of all, hear God's word. But on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostle. But their words seemed to them to be idle talk, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. What did the disciples expect that day as dawn broke on the very first Easter morning? Well, they were expecting death. They were expecting to go to the tomb to bring spices and to acknowledge the death of their beloved teacher, Rabbi Jesus. They were looking for death, not for life. And this is a situation, I think, all across this land and actually across the world this very morning. Perhaps someone listening today has a loved one who's hospitalized and is on the verge of dying from coronavirus. Perhaps you're dreading tomorrow morning because the small business you're owning is on the verge of collapsing, of actually dying. Perhaps you fear that you will not have employment Monday morning. People are losing hope all across America and the world. They're looking for something. All they're finding is death. But death is not what these women found, was it? What they found was life. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. You know, we have what's called a lost and found at the church. And I can remember as a child, there was a lost and found at my elementary school. And on one occasion, I had lost a beloved possession. I think it was a toy that I had brought for a show and tell. And I was in consternation that my toy was gone, that I had lost what I loved. And what a relief as I went to the lost and found what I had lost. That's what Easter is all about. It's God's lost and found. We lose many things in life, and ultimately, we will all lose our life. But death is not the final conclusion of God's story. For the empty tomb is God's answer to what we've lost. For Jesus says, those who lose their life, if they put faith in him, will find life and live. You see, behind every ending is a beginning. Behind every sorrow is joy. And if we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we can walk away amazed at what God will do, just as Peter did. Now, the story doesn't end there, and our life doesn't end as well. This day will continue as we celebrate. And let's go into the midday, and beginning now at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' And so he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road? And while he opened to us the scriptures?'" Here we have another parallel between that first Easter and this Easter as well. Because what is everyone talking about? Well, they're talking about the pandemic. They're talking about coronavirus. It's on the news. That's all they talk about from morning to noontime, whether you're watching CNN, Fox, or MSNBC. It's what everyone is talking about. And Jesus and his crucifixion, that was the news. And when Jesus feigned ignorance as to what was going on, the two disciples were amazed that he did not hear. I mean, it would be like someone today saying, "Well, what pandemic? I don't know what's going on." And you say, "Where have you been? Living under a rock?" On that day, Jesus gave them some other news, though. News that was much more important than all the news that was going around. And I want to suggest that as important as this pandemic is and as important it is for you and I to be informed as to what's going on, there's something more important. There's an unexpected joy we can find, and that is through the Word of God, through Scripture, as Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will open it up to us just as he does to the disciples along the way. These two men were so full of sadness and despair that it says that they stood there looking at Jesus when he asked, "What news?" It says they stood there looking sad. Sadness and despair seems to rule the hearts of people all around us. But as Jesus opened up the Scriptures to them, and as he broke the bread and blessed it with them, something happened. Their hearts began to burn with joy and hope. I want to suggest that today, that as you, as families, gather around your Easter table, as you break bread together, that if you invite Jesus into your gathering, as you invite him into your heart right now, as you hear this message, that your heart can burn with the Word of God. For Jesus is alive today, surely as he was alive then. He can make all the difference, even in an evening. You know, evenings are oftentimes the hardest time, because even if we get hope in the day, as the sun draws and the shadows grow longer and darkness falls upon the earth, you know what happens to us. Sometimes our spirits can fall back into depression, and that seems to be what happened here as well. Despite the fact that there was encouraging glimpses, there was this good news and joy being said. We read in verse 33, "And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything to eat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate before them." As that evening came, the disciples were still wavering. The other gospels tell us that the doors were all shut and barred out of fear. Even though they had had all these encouraging reports and some had actually seen the Lord, they were still gripped with fear. Many of you are those who call themselves Christians, perhaps majority of people here, and you have a faith in God. You know God is sovereign and in control, and you tell yourself all these things intellectually, but still there is that fear. We still bar the doors. We still hide. You know, in America today, we're all living behind closed doors. Most states have a stay-at-home order. Hide. Don't get too close to people. For that virus, the hidden enemy, as people are calling it, is out there stalking to destroy you. But I want to suggest to you that just like that first Easter, on this Easter, our closed doors can't keep Jesus out. Jesus came on that first Easter, and he stood to them and said, "Peace be with you." And even now, Jesus can come into your home, even with your doors barred, even with you not being able to join together in the congregation of God's people, that God can still come to you. Jesus can still come to you by the Holy Spirit. And he can say to you, peace be with you. You see, Jesus can go where no virus can go. Jesus can do what no one else can do. He can give us peace and joy. The very last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. It's a book that puzzles many people, and people oftentimes avoid reading it because they say it's hard to understand. And I can understand those sentiments, but, you know, it's a book that was designed to bless you. It says that there's a special blessing for reading the book of Revelation. And other than, don't get distracted by all the prophetic speculation, the main message of the book of Revelation is that God, in the form of Jesus Christ, is still coming to us, even behind locked doors, to give us the message of peace. In one of the letters to the seven churches, Jesus says this in Revelation 3, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I stand at the door and knock. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." What is the Spirit saying to all these closed churches today on Easter? What is God saying to you as you hold family worship around your Easter table? He's saying, "I stand at the door and knock. Let me in to your home. Let me in to your heart." Today is a day for us to repent, to turn away from all the false gods and loves in our heart and give our heart fully to Jesus. Open the door to Jesus Christ. And you know what? If we do this, we might discover on this Easter unlike any other, that there is a joy unexpected. A joy unexpected. Just as there was on that first Easter. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your good word. For a word that gives us hope on a Easter that's unlike any other. Lord, I know that the congregation of Green Valley Presbyterian Church is grieving today because we are separated and not together. I know that we're just a tiny fragment of the worldwide church, that Christians all over are grieved of heart because they're not together. But Lord, let them hear your word. Let them hear the message of the gospel of Jesus, that he does stand at our closed doors. And even now, he's knocking at every home. He's knocking at every door. And he's asking to come in so that he can make this a joyous Easter for each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.